with Chris Barnes.
We understand this was an attack on our values to break our spirit. But as an effort to break our spirit, it failed.
New York's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio discussing yesterday's terror attack in Lower Manhattan, in which a 29-year-old Uzbek native takes a truck and runs down pedestrians and bicyclists, killing at least eight, injuring over a dozen, saying he did it for ISIS. The NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill says,
"What happened yesterday was not okay. It will never be something any of us will just accept as inevitable."
Saying it was the worst terror attack in New York City since 9/11. The suspect was shot by a cop and is now being questioned by authorities. The FBI says he's never been on their radar. ADP says the nation's private sector added a better than expected 235,000 jobs last month. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn with important news for every guy over 50. TV talk show legend Larry King has an incredible new free video for men with prostate problems. If you're a guy 50 or over, the odds are 70% or higher you have a prostate problem, whether you know it or not. Even the great Larry King had a problem. He used to get up 4 and 5 times a night because of his prostate. That's a rough night's sleep. Now most nights Larry sleeps through the night. His romantic life was on the skids, but now Larry proudly says, "The King is back." Larry's prostate issues are a thing of the past. He did it with a natural product from France. It changed Larry's life. If you have prostate problems, do yourself a big favor. Go see Larry King's video investigative report and find out how he did it. Go to prostatevideo.com and see Larry's new video special report on prostate products and how they changed his life and how they can change yours too. It's free. If you have prostate problems, go into the men's room all the time, weak stream, urgency. And if your romantic game isn't up to par, go to prostatevideo.com. That's prostatevideo.com.
It was supposed to be rolled out today, but now House Republicans say they'll roll out their tax bill tomorrow as they still have to do some work on the legislation. The House Ways and Means Committee saying their decision was made in consultation with President Trump. Arizona truckers on the lookout for terrorists. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The Arizona Trucking Association is training agents who rent commercial trucks to folks in the state to look for signs of terrorist activity. Officials say agents are looking for people who pay in large sums of cash as well as other signs. Terror groups have been encouraging followers to use trucks in attacks because they're easy to carry out and can do major damage.
The wildfires in Northern California this year, the most expensive in history.
Damages total more than $3 billion, and state insurance officials say that figure is certain to go higher. The blazes killed more than 40 people and destroyed nearly 9,000 homes and businesses. The fire started burning on October 8th and 9th and scorched more than 380 square miles. All the fires are now fully contained.
That's Mark Mayfield. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The head of the Senate Intelligence Committee speaks out about the New York terror attack.
Our hearts and our prayers go out to the individuals in New York, the families and the friends of those who were affected by a senseless terror act.
Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina says it seems nothing that terrorists do anymore can surprise Americans these days.
We've come to expect this. We spend countless hours working through the threats that exist to this country and around the world.
He says both his committee and the larger intelligence community will continue to work hard to do their best to keep the country safe. Meanwhile, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo orders beefed up security in response to that deadly attack. That part of the story from correspondent Scott Pringle.
Cuomo is directing law enforcement agencies to increase security at high-profile locations throughout the state, and that includes bridges and tunnels, large public gatherings in dense areas. Cuomo says it's out of an abundance of caution, and he doesn't want New Yorkers to be alarmed.
Don't let them change us or deter us in any manner, shape, or form.
Facebook, Twitter, and Google reps are on Capitol Hill again. More hearings today on Russia. Social media companies in the spotlight over Russia's meddling in the election last year. Yesterday, Facebook General Counsel Colin Stretch spoke about posts that he said were designed to sow division and discord among Americans. Remember, next time you are surfing the web, you can find us at usaradio.com. I'm Chris Barnes.
New York City police officer who has now been charged.
Stephen Wirth, the lead defense attorney for Officer Lien, says it was just a tragic accident.
There was nothing reckless or criminally negligent about the way Officer Lien performed his duties that night. This was not his first vertical patrol. It wasn't even his first vertical patrol that night. He's an experienced officer, and he's done them before.
Officials with the Bay Area Transit System are warning commuters they may have been exposed to measles. A regular passenger was caught with the measles after traveling February 4th through the 6th. USA Radio News.
Did you pay to do your taxes this year? Or did you not pay to do your taxes because you filed them for free on TurboTax? And then you had some money to spend on something else, like a miniature train set, so you can give all your 2-inch-tall friends a ride to a tiny post office or something. Anyhow, how you do your taxes is up to you. But if you want to pay absolute zero, then hop on TurboTax.com and file your taxes for free. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
For simple U.S. returns only. Offer may end without notice. See offer details at TurboTax.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans looking to head back to school, maybe you want to consider a career as a physician's assistant. Our correspondent Ron Taylor tells why.
Demand for physician's assistants has risen by more than 300% in the past 3 years, which is why Forbes magazine ranks becoming a PA the most promising job in 2015. President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says that PAs and doctors are more similar than people think. He says the training is based on a medical model that grew from a concept started in World War II when there was a need to accelerate medical training to 3 years.
And in the late 60s, they got the idea of let's accelerate medical school, put them through an intensive training, and have them collaborate with physicians to improve health outcomes.
John McGinnity says you should have the same expectations of your PA as you do for your doctor.
PAs can diagnose, they can treat, they order and interpret tests, they assist in surgery, they prescribe medications in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says PAs go through an intense training program.
Our students will go through over 75 hours in pharmacology, 175 in behavioral science, and almost 500 in clinical medicine. Then they spend over 2,000 hours in the bedside practicing medicine through a 24-month intensive program.
I'm Ron Taylor.
If you're looking for more news, visit us online at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
New York City police officer who has now been charged.
Stephen Wirth, the lead defense attorney for Officer Lien, says it was just a tragic accident.
There was nothing reckless or criminally negligent about the way Officer Lien performed his duties that night. This was not his first vertical patrol. It wasn't even his first vertical patrol that night. He's an experienced officer, and he's done them before.
Officials with the Bay Area Transit System are warning commuters they may have been exposed to measles. A regular passenger was caught with the measles after traveling February 4th through the 6th. USA Radio News.
Did you pay to do your taxes this year? Or did you not pay to do your taxes because you filed them for free on TurboTax? And then you had some money to spend on something else, like a miniature train set, so you can give all your 2-inch-tall friends a ride to a tiny post office or something. Anyhow, how you do your taxes is up to you. But if you want to pay absolute zero, then hop on TurboTax.com and file your taxes for free. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
For simple U.S. returns only. Offer may end without notice. See offer details at TurboTax.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans looking to head back to school, maybe you want to consider a career as a physician's assistant. Our correspondent Ron Taylor tells why.
Demand for physician's assistants has risen by more than 300% in the past 3 years, which is why Forbes magazine ranks becoming a PA the most promising job in 2015. President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says that PAs and doctors are more similar than people think. He says the training is based on a medical model that grew from a concept started in World War II when there was a need to accelerate medical training to 3 years.
And in the late 60s, they got the idea of let's accelerate medical school, put them through an intensive training, and have them collaborate with physicians to improve health outcomes.
John McGinnity says you should have the same expectations of your PA as you do for your doctor.
PAs can diagnose, they can treat, they order and interpret tests, they assist in surgery, they prescribe medications in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says PAs go through an intense training program.
Our students will go through over 75 hours in pharmacology, 175 in behavioral science, and almost 500 in clinical medicine. Then they spend over 2,000 hours in the bedside practicing medicine through a 24-month intensive program.
I'm Ron Taylor.
If you're looking for more news, visit us online at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
It is 9:06. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. It's 28 degrees right now. Overcast in Flemington. The winds are 5 miles an hour from the southwest. Today is Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. Periods of rain and snow today. A high of 38, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour, chance of precipitation 70%. Some clouds tonight, a few flurries or snow showers possible, a low of 5, winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, a high of only 21, winds west-northwest 10 to 20. On Valentine's Day, partly cloudy early, then becoming cloudy with periods of light snow later in the day, accumulation only about 1 inch. Same with Saturday night with a low of 11. On Sunday, windy with a few clouds from time to time. A few flurries are possible, a high of 13. And Monday, we get up to 23 with sunny skies. Temperatures in our area right now, 34 in White House, 30 in Lebanon, 34 in Phillipsburg, 32 in Frenchtown, 28 Raritan, 31 in Hopewell, 32 in Lambertville. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterChamberRadio.com. I'm talking with some guests here. FEMA Corps is the name of the organization, obviously a branch of the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA. And we've had some other folks in here back in October, but this is a great chat. Three people representing FEMA Corps today, Patrick Riegert, Janae McClure, and Keisha Eilers, are joining me this morning, and we're going to talk about how they got involved and all the different roles and responsibilities that they've taken on over the last couple of months. So I want to bring them on in. Good morning, ladies and gentleperson. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be here.
So let's give a quick introduction and shout out. I know there's probably some folks out there that you want to say hello to. Let's start with Keisha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Anybody you want to say hello to out there?
I'd like to say hello to my team who's listening in from our office.
All right, team. And I, Daryl tells me that you guys had a chat with the group that came in October, so hopefully they're listening in and smiling from ear to ear, knowing that you're going through the grilling that they went through in October. So, I have Janae. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Welcome to Hunter and Chamber Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Anybody out there you want to say hello to?
Say hello to my team leader and my team, Otter 5.
Oh, you got them brainwashed, Daryl. How does that work? Don't you have, like,
mom, dad,
relatives, kids, friends, relatives? Patrick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here. Got to give a shout-out to my parents.
There you go.
For starters, got to give a shout-out to all my friends back home in Wisconsin that are listening.
Wisconsin.
And, oh, yeah, the greatest state there is in the country, without a doubt, besides New Jersey.
All right, there you go. I got a present for you. I got a present for you. Ready? You ready? Hang on.
There we go. It's great to be here on Wisconsin for everyone.
There you go. You know why I have that? What? That's the themes. That's the fight song for the 100th Central Red Devils right across the street.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah. So
it's good, good fight song.
The problem is that I'm a Northwestern grad.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we all have our flaws.
Yes. Oh, but you work for me someday.
Yeah, no, right.
That's our motto. Anyway, so welcome back. So I just learned that Patrick's from Wisconsin. Janae, where are you from?
I'm South Carolina.
That's where I'll be in Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I go down to South Carolina vacation a lot all the time. What town?
Columbia, South Carolina.
All right. I go to Myrtle Beach. So
it's nice.
It's warm there, from what I'm told. Anyway. And Keisha, how are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wow. All right. So you win the longest travel
award
today. That's cool. So you're part of FEMA Corps. And the first part of this discussion is how did you get involved? How did you find out and learn about this? So what was the process that you went through personally to decide that, even learn about FEMA Corps before you started, and then to go through from start to finish to arrive somehow in New Jersey? What was the mindset that you went through at that point?
I'll go first. My older brother actually was in the first class of FEMA Corps, class 19, out of California.
Okay.
So I heard a lot about the program from him, and he told me a lot about what it was actually like and all the benefits that you can get from the program. And I was really interested in taking a gap year between high school and college. So I decided that it seemed like a really good program, learned a lot. And that's how I got involved in the program as a whole. And then we're all actually based out of the same region in Baltimore.
Okay.
So we are the Atlantic region.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of ended up there because they randomly assigned me.
Right.
To which region we'd be in, and that's how we ended up on this side of the country.
So let me back up for just a minute. Your brother was in class 19. What I don't know how number represents anything. Is that a year, or is that a? It's obviously not 2019 or 1919. So how did he? And the other part I heard is California, and yet you're from Salt Lake City. So how did that all come to fruition?
He was assigned there the same way that I was assigned to Baltimore.
Okay.
So that's just the campus.
So you're both from Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And what year was he in FEMA Corps?
He was in FEMA Corps in 2012 and 2013. So,
okay.
It's the 19th class of the traditional NCCC, which is the National Community, National
Civilian
Corps. That's what it is.
There you go. They test you after this, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Patrick's got an A so far. He knows all the acronyms. All right. So your brother, how did he find out about FEMA Corps? Do you know what he went through? What process?
It was just through a counselor at our high school.
And so you haven't been to college yet. You graduated when?
Last year.
All right. June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've been, and when did you get? Drafted by the FEMA Corps right after that?
We started in July.
So you've been essentially since after pomp and circumstance, you've been doing nothing but traveling and working with FEMA at this point.
Pretty much, yep.
All right, very good. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's go on to Janae. How did you get involved?
Well, my junior year of college, I was kind of eavesdropping in on a conversation on a classmate, and I heard them talking about FEMA Corps along with my professor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do after I graduated college. I wasn't ready to just jump into the workforce or anything like that.
Sure.
So I looked online. I looked into AmeriCorps and see what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
www.nationalservice.org.
There you go. For all you folks looking for something to do inside or outside of college. What college are you going to?
I went to Lander University.
I'm sorry?
Greenwood, South Carolina. Lander University.
Lander, okay. Mm-hmm. And what were you studying?
I was studying sociology.
Okay.
Just a helping field, so it was nice to do AmeriCorps and help out.
All right. So now you've got like a sabbatical from them and you're going back? Or are you changing your direction? Or are you still?
I plan on working with the government after.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So you threw in a little trip up to, well, right now New Jersey, but I know that you go to other places besides that. Patrick, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, I found out about the program. My older sister, Caitlin, shout out to her, by the way.
Okay.
She did the, was in an AmeriCorps program called College Possible, and that program is basically just helping high school students get into college.
Okay.
So it's preparing them for their ACT or SAT exams, and it's helping them with the application process, you know, making them sound professional.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how I was introduced to AmeriCorps. Once I was introduced to that, I saw how much it did for her in terms of her career,
mm-hmm.
and how much it boosted her resume. So I decided to go onto the AmeriCorps website as well. And I wanted to travel. And
okay.
that was my main thing, where I'm very ambitious like that. I like to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've studied abroad. And, you know, once I saw that this FEMA Corps program allows you to travel all over the country,
right.
I was hooked. And it's a great way to get services. It was a great way for me to travel.
Right.
I wasn't quite sure what I want to do with my professional career, so this has given me, you know, a time opportunity to do that. And I think, you know, so far it's been an excellent experience for me.
Now, where are you in your scholastic career?
I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater.
Okay.
I graduated with a degree in social work.
Mm-hmm.
So service has kind of always been a part of my life, where I've been just interested in that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, and this really adds to that.
I
think it's going to be, you know, overall just, it will really help me get any sort of social work job that I'm looking for in the future.
And that's the interesting part about when I meet you folks, because I was talking with somebody this morning how there's a difference between my generation and yours, in that I'm on the edge of the baby boomer, the end of the baby boomers generation. And it was all the baby boomers, I'm sorry, but it is all about us. We're trying to get ourselves wherever we need to go. We never really thought as much about the link between your person and your community as much as your generation does. And the more I start to hear what your generation is trying to accomplish and how you're trying to immerse yourself into a better myself but better my community at the same time, I stand in awe. I really do. So when I have these chats with you guys, it really opens my eyes to, man, I have some more time, so I'd like to try and reverse engineer some things. And so I learn a great deal from the way you guys think, so it's really cool to go through this. You've all been part of FEMA Corps now since July. Are you all?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so you're all part of that same thing. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and hear about the beginnings in retrospect as to what it was like to be brought into FEMA Corps, and then how you eventually wound up in good old New Jersey. Hang on a minute. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntChamberRadio.com. I got FemaCorps here, and we're talking about their initial, I guess, experience. So now you guys have been in, let me do some quick math here, about six, almost 8 months. And Keisha, you did it right after high school. I got Janae, who was in the middle of college, and Patrick, who graduated college. So you're all at different perspectives as to when you got into this service. So you all wind up getting this call or getting some announcement or email or something that you're going to start in July. And where's your initial education and initiation? Was it in Baltimore?
It was in Perryville, Maryland.
Perryville.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So in that general vicinity. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how much travel have you done prior to that?
A lot.
You've traveled a lot.
We've all traveled.
No. Before you wind up in Maryland.
Oh, before Maryland. Yeah. I mean, I studied abroad, and so I got the chance to go to Europe and do all that stuff, and I've traveled around the country myself.
All right.
A lot.
So jumping out of Whitewater, Wisconsin, and going to Maryland was a piece of cake for you.
It was a piece of cake. Yeah.
All right. And Keisha, how much traveling were you doing?
I've traveled pretty extensively across the U.S., yeah.
All right. And Janae, you?
I've traveled along the East Coast.
Okay. So going to Maryland wasn't a big deal. No, it was just getting on a plane. We're good, right?
Yeah.
The other group, well, somebody jumped in a car or something like that. It freaked me out a little bit that they just drove like 24 hours.
Patrick did the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just jumped in the old?
Yeah, no, before we went, or on our way to... Excuse me. Before we went to Baltimore, me and my family, we took a road trip from Wisconsin to Baltimore. So we stopped by Niagara Falls, which was a lot of fun. And, I got to travel around the country a little bit.
I know you're a world traveler, but Niagara Falls is a little north. It's not exactly a straight line.
No, it wasn't the straight line. But, we wanted to see Niagara Falls. None of us have been there. We were on the New York side, though. So the Canada side is, I guess, the good side.
And you did that in the summer, obviously.
Yeah, so we did that right before we came.
It's a little cold up there right now.
Yeah.
All right, so you did the road trip. And so you wind up in Maryland, and how long is that supposed to take place now? It's a little bit of indoctrination, induction. You got to learn your acronyms. What else is going on over there during that education process?
Well, that was about a month-long training process where we kind of got educated on all the stuff that we'd be doing. Each of us have our own individual specialty roles that we got trained on, and then along with our main job training.
Okay.
So, I mean, there was a lot of presentations, a lot of PowerPoint slides.
Yeah.
Yep. But, we got through it. We all, I mean, I guess that's the best way to put it.
There was some feedback there, Daryl.
But it was a good training experience where, I mean, it really has prepared us for what we've been doing out here in New Jersey and in our previous rounds as well.
What are, you just referred to some of your roles. What are your roles?
Well, Patrick and I are both the media representatives for our team specifically.
Media representatives? You didn't know you was going to send me veterans, man. What's up with that? Okay. Do you go on the radio all the time?
No.
First radio experience. Actually.
Okay. Thank you. Right. So media, what does media representative really entail?
Well, media representative, so basically part of our job is to get the word out about FemaCorps and NCCC to as many people as we can. So we try to accumulate media hits by showing what we're doing in the community, whether it's through volunteer projects or through what we're doing at work.
Mm-hmm.
We've posted videos about what we were doing. We've, tried to get interviews as many as we can. Obviously Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce Radio is so kind of us to have us.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a huge part of what we're trying to do is just through social media and through prints and through any other source that we can, try to get the word out.
Okay. And Janae, what are you?
I'm the assistant media rep, but my primary role is the vehicle safety and tools coordinator. And I'm responsible for pretty much keeping my team safe.
All right.
I do weekly inspections on the van as well as monthly inspections. Mm-hmm. And we do evacuation plans within our workspace.
Okay.
And wherever our...
like wherever our like location is, I mean, yeah, you're just really helping us out in terms of like, our, you know,
keeping
how
us,
to be
safe. Us safe.
And, yeah. More importantly, keeping the van in good condition.
So you're the reconnaissance person, right? You go in and check out the
area,
check out the apartment before you get in.
Check the oil, check the tires, all of that.
I'll get to that later. That's funny. All right. And how did you get involved in auto mechanics?
Well.
Is that something you owned prior to getting involved here?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I just started doing that whenever I came to this program.
It was just
it was a random choice. I wanted to do something different.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. And they give you're checking out the car, making sure it's all working fine, and
yes.
Everybody's getting where they need to go.
It's actually fun doing that. Every Wednesday I do it.
All right. She's loving it. And do you want to add anything, Keisha, to your media?
You're good? Pretty accurate, yeah.
So, was there, again, did you guys get involved in media because of some past experience, or you just sounded kind of cool to do?
Well, it did sound pretty cool to do. I mean, obviously, you know, have been experienced with social media before, you know, with Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, who would have thought? But, I mean, it was... something that I just kind of wanted to learn. I mean, it was a new skill that was kind of presented, and it sounded interesting, and the training for it seemed kind of cool. So just kind of jumped in and wanted to learn as much as I could.
All right. So you had these PowerPoint presentations. You got your training. You decided. You figured out your roles. You guys have been a team since July.
Yeah. Me and Janae are on the same team, and then Kasia is on a different team. But we just happen to work in the same. We're lucky enough to work in the same office.
We are.
Okay, all right. And at some point after all of this, you meet your team. Mm-hmm. And where was your first assignment?
Well, my team was first. Well, actually, before that, we were sent to do our FEMA training in Vicksburg, Mississippi, in August.
Oh, sweet!
Yes.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Yes.
A little humid.
Well, from a Wisconsin guy, of course.
Yeah,
from a Columbia, South Carolina person, it's okay.
From Utah, it was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, it's a little dry over in Utah. Okay. Well, hey, it doesn't get any... Well, I'll say it doesn't get any worse than that, but then you wound up in Jersey in winter. So
yes.
It could be in Boston, though. Or Buffalo.
With all the snow there. Holy cow.
So what did you do down in Mississippi?
We were only there for like a week and a half. Mm-hmm. But we did some pretty intense training with FEMA specialists in our FEMA qualified roles.
Right.
So they're called FQSs. But
oh, my God. You guys are like government spies or something. It's all acronyms.
It's all acronyms all the time.
There's a big
FQS
book for all the acronyms.
Okay.
I'm trained as in public assistance.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing here in New Jersey. And I know they're both trained in something else.
Yeah, so we each got trained, in Vicksburg to do our own separate things. And then me and Janae's team, our first round was in Atlanta, where we actually were doing logistics. So we were working in a warehouse and doing staging operations and basically making sure that if a declared disaster were to happen, mm-hmm. we would be ready to go in a moment's notice. So making sure that... you know, everything was accounted for, all the supplies were accounted for, making sure, you know, the inventory was stocked. Yeah. And then we were trained in drills. And I don't know if, Janae, you want to talk about that, some of the drills that we did on how quick and ready to go we were.
Yeah, we trained alongside with the IMAT team, which was really neat.
What's the IMAT team? You're leaving me out in the dust here.
So IMAT is, they're experienced groups who go out on disasters when necessary to help out.
All right, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. You just needed a clarification.
Yeah.
So what did you do with them?
Well, with the staging drills, basically what we did.
Thank you, Janae.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go?
No, okay. I'm just kidding.
All right. So basically with the IMAT teams and the staging drills, so we prepared to receive supplies and send out supplies at a moment's notice. And basically the main thing with that is speed. because, sure. I mean, when trucks are coming in, you can get trucks lines as long as 25 to 50 trucks at a time.
Wow.
And, I mean, you're basically just trying to get through not only the paperwork that's required, but then also trying to get the supplies ready.
Right.
So, and the goal for each truck, I believe it was something like you want to get it in and out within like 15 minutes or something like that. I can't remember the specific number.
This is what, a dump truck, a box truck?
18-wheeler
tractor-trailer.
Tractor-trailer.
15 minutes.
Yes. And then...
Oh, you guys could work for UPS soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of FedEx. Around the same thing. I mean, it's all logistics. I mean, so it was all just about, all right, where does everything need to go,
right,
and how quick can we do it?
Sure. And this is all obviously in the retrospect of Katrina down in New Orleans and Hurricane Sandy up here, where the scrutiny of FEMA was much more poignant, more strategic because of some of the issues of those situations. So there's a lot more procedures, a lot more measurement that's going on, I guess. And so you guys are essentially training for the potential of something like that to happen again.
Exactly, because, I mean, we could be sent out on a moment's notice.
Right.
And, I mean, once we're out there, I mean, we need to be ready. Okay. And that's what – and our boss, Bon Ludke, a little shout-out to him as well.
Yeah. Right,
but, I mean, he made sure that we were on top of it. And, you know, for the staging operation drills, I mean, you know, he was hard on us, but at the same time, he did a good job in getting us ready.
Cool.
And
really
I think – and, well, thankfully, you know, no disaster did happen while we were down in Atlanta. We would have been ready in a moment's notice. And I think everybody on our team was confident about that.
Yeah, it would have been nice to work a disaster.
Yeah, just to just to get all that experience. to get that experience.
It happens, and we don't know it sometimes. So it doesn't mean that you won't be called back, right?
Correct.
So you guys were down in Atlanta, and Keisha, you were...
I was actually in New York, still working Sandy in the Queens Recovery Office.
Oh, boy. Okay. And Queens over there. All right.
Yep.
So you've been up here since, what, August?
Yeah, since the end of August. We came to New York, and we've been working in our roles of public assistance doing long-term recovery.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of work to be done getting everything fixed up and getting some of the grant money out there to our applicants and stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, so you did the Atlanta gig. You were up in Queens, and was that the only stage before you came here, or was there something else in between?
Yeah, that was pretty much the only stage before we came here.
So then you learn at some point, you get your new marching orders, you wind up in New Jersey. So where are you guys now? What office are you at in New Jersey?
We're in Eatontown, New Jersey, working at the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office.
Okay. And... most people know about Manhattan, obviously. Well, almost all people.
I've heard of that place.
You've heard of that place. But not a lot of people know about New Jersey, and you wind up in New Jersey. When you got your orders, what was the initial impression of New Jersey before you came in?
Well, before I came in, I mean, you hear on, like, you know, TV and movies.
We can take it. We can take it.
Right.
We've been the brunt of every joke imaginable. Okay?
Well, you know, you hear a lot of jokes. And I think I'm just
going
to leave it at that.
There you
and
go.
I think every New Jersey resident can say, we know what you're talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I know what exit I live on.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with the complaints or the dialogue about the oil and the tanks over at Newark Airport, all that. I get it. But so you hear about you're going to be stationed in Jersey and it's going to be winter and it's, what, at least 13 weeks and all that. Any other impressions? Were you up in this area, Janae, at one point before coming to New Jersey? Or?
Well, I actually have family here in New Jersey.
Oh,
New York, so.
So
I was pretty familiar with the area, but not the area of Red Bank or Eatonton.
Okay.
Those were foreign towns.
Foreign towns.
Yeah, to me. But originally we were supposed to go to Queens, New York, and work out of the recovery office there.
Right.
But then they changed our orders, and we
One of the main things about this is you learn about how to be
flexible.
FEMA flexible is what they like to call it.
FEMA flexible.
And I mean, and when you're working, you know, in emergency management, you know, you orders change. I mean, yeah. You know, stuff changes at a moment's notice. Sure. And I think a lot of us have definitely gotten used to that, where it's just, I mean, you know, at a moment's notice, things can change.
But I also think that's another characteristic, positive characteristic of your generation.
Absolutely.
You're much more flexible with, and it almost invite change as an excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas baby boomers, we just like to do one thing for a long period of time and keep it that way, don't change it, we're okay.
Well, you can't, hate on the baby boomers, but yeah. I mean,
I can. Like, I'm one of them.
Well, then, all right. Well, all right. I don't. Yeah, but like, I mean, definitely. I mean, it's definitely something that, yeah, I'm definitely not opposed to change. So it's exciting.
It's just what you guys grew up with, and you're used to it.
Keeps things interesting.
Sure. Yeah. And that's exactly the point. It keeps things interesting. It keeps you excited at what's going to happen from day to day. So, all right, so you're in New Jersey now. You guys made the trip over from Red Bank to here. Any difference in your experience of Red Bank to Hunterdon County?
No.
It's the same? Hunterdon County looks exactly the same as Red Bank, right?
Well, everybody here is really friendly.
So friendly. Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Yeah, we were at the coffee shop down the road.
We don't let people know that until you get here, though.
Yeah, we had the nicest waitress. She was so excited to give us that coffee. It was so pleasant. It was a good time.
You're sassing me, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's sass, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yes. You gotta be around for a while before we give you the real hug and the shoulder and hand on the shoulder. But no, the people here do want, generally appreciate FEMA and all they've done so far and what you guys are still doing. What has your role been? What have you been doing in the Red Bank and the Eaton Town office at this point?
I've been helping out writing final inspection reports for public assistance. I know there's all kinds of crazy terms.
No, that one actually I understood. But what is the role of a final assessment report? What are you assessing?
Well, you're basically seeing where the federal grants went and making sure that all of the work was done, and that it was done up to code and everything to make sure that what we paid for is what happened.
Okay, and this is in regard to all the Sandy work, right?
Yeah, so it's all the Sandy public assistance work. So we're refunding like permanent projects, like rebuilding the boardwalk in Seaside Heights,
right?
And all kinds of, like, we reimburse emergency protective measures. So all the police departments and the fire departments that had to go out and respond to that emergency and all of the overtime hours that they worked, we refund things like that as well.
Cool. If you're interested, on the 27th, you can go down to Seaside Heights and jump in the ocean as part of the Polar Bear Club.
I will pass.
You're from Wisconsin, man. That should be a piece of cake for you.
I've done the Polar Bear Plunge once, and that was enough. Thank you.
So you can see the benefits of having that boardwalk rebuilt, because it had to be restaged over in Long Branch, very close to Red Bank, 2 years ago. So now they can bring it back to Seaside. And it's the shore, okay? I'm just giving you a heads up. We do not call it the Jersey Shore. So just so you feel like you're an insider, if you call it anything else other than the shore, we know exactly who you are and that you don't belong here. So there's an inside tip. What's the day-to-day like, Keisha, in doing these assessment reports? Are you going to certain places? Are you reviewing just documents in-house?
A lot of it is reviewing documentation and filling out paperwork, making sure all of the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Gotcha.
But every once in a while, we do get to go out and have, like, go on site inspections and things and meet with the applicants.
Okay. Any personal experiences that you witnessed, observations that caught you by surprise?
I actually went to a meeting with the Hoboken Housing Authority a couple weeks ago, and that was really interesting to see what still needs to be done and what we're still working on, because that was more
how many years later.
Exactly.
Right. And it's not a diss on anybody, but it's just that enormous a job.
Yeah,
it really is.
Exactly.
Trying to get all this working. And Mr. Patrick, what are you doing from day to day here?
Well, I work in the external affairs department.
Okay.
And I do a lot of writing, to just basically sum it up in one word.
Okay.
And it's about writing about different projects that are going on or helping out with certain guides or packets or something like that. So right now, one of the main projects I'm working on is a New Jersey Accessible Housing Resource Guide. It's helping people with disabilities with their housing needs. So whether it's financial needs or housing programs that could help them out.
Uh-huh.
That's essentially what this guide is for. Obviously, it's still in the working – it's still in the, you know, development process of it. So this guide isn't going to be coming out soon, or at least I'm not exactly sure when the date will be. But the main point being is this is a guide that's going to help a lot of people, hopefully, where it's getting them into the correct kind of housing that they might need.
Now, I'm a little curious because I'm trying to figure out how this coincides with the overall mission of FEMA.
Okay. So, for example, a lot of people are still recovering from Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
And obviously multiple people have disabilities. So, for example, there is a program where it is trying to get into more accessible housing by having elevator lifts for people with disability, because obviously with flood insurance, you need to have the house elevated.
Yep.
Exactly. So, and you can't necessarily just have a ramp, because by law, ramps are only allowed to go up so much. So some of these houses you would have, you know, have like 12 twists and turns just to get up to your house, for example.
Right.
So you might need an elevator lift.
Okay.
This resource guide then can help you find certain programs that will allow you to get that.
All right, I get it now. So for all the rebuilds that we're doing, because they need to be in a new status or code, and folks are disabled, you're providing them some answers as to what they could conceivably come up with for their new development.
Exactly.
The new structure. Excellent. And that kind of coincides with that media, right?
Yeah.
Because you're putting together
a
public brochure.
Exactly. And then hopefully it will get out to as many people as we can, and hopefully it, once again, helps everybody.
Very cool. All right. And Janae, what are you doing now besides checking the van?
Besides checking the van, checking the oil, I'm working with the FDRC along with the FERC department, which is the Federal Disaster Recovery Committee.
Right.
And on day-to-day tasks, I'm given they mainly help out with grants.
Okay.
Their primary focus is helping search for grants. Right now,
these grants for individuals or organizations?
Organizations. One of their primary focuses moving a library from the boardwalk in Atlantic City to a different location.
Because it makes sense to get it out of the flood plain, but it's going to cost money to do it, right?
Yeah, so.
Gotcha.
That's one of the tasks that I'm currently focused on, looking for grants. Also, I have been typing up articles for past accomplishments in 2014 within the FERC department.
Okay.
And FDRC.
All right.
And
so there's your media training in place, right?
Yes, it is.
As the assistant media personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And I enjoy doing that. One interesting thing we've been working on is a former FEMA Corps member who's in the Peace Corps right now. She's working in Peru, and they're having a lot of disasters, but they don't really have a disaster plan.
Mm-hmm.
So my partner John and I, he's also logistics, working in the same department as me.
Right.
We sent off some Spanish articles, some Spanish brochures and things like that.
Oh, okay. So they were written in the language of Spanish,
some disaster preparedness and business plans and things like
that. So they would just get caught up? They would just get caught up on what possibilities are out there for an organization to be able to help? Is that what you get?
Yes, it just helps out with, like, the disaster preparedness in Peru so that they're prepared.
Yeah.
And
I get it. Yeah, so you take despite the fact that we like to throw any government business organization under the bus, what you learned, what you're just telling me is that we're miles ahead of many of our other countries in the world in terms of attempting to help during a disaster.
Yes, we are.
And now you have somebody who's participated in FEMA Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're down in Peru, and they're saying, man, I wish I had, as opposed to us just complaining that we're not getting things done fast enough, right?
Yeah, we're able to help out other countries with the disaster preparedness.
Sure, sure. Very cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll find out what's on tap for these guys in just a few minutes. Hang on.
Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamberRadio.com. We have FEMA Corps here, and we've been talking about all the different programs, responsibilities, jobs, experience that they have been getting over the last 8 months. One of the other aspects to it that we covered with the October group and is also a requirement for this group is, after all is said and done, from their normal 8 to 5 or probably 7 to 7 job, they have to go out and do something personal, take a personal responsibility and go out and find and help out another organization outside of FEMA Corps. So it's not like you guys get any sleep at any point, right? Sleep is for the overrated?
Sleep is for the overrated. So
what are your projects that you have gotten involved with?
Well, some of the projects we've gotten involved with, one of the main ones here in New Jersey is with Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
So we will help construction with a house, and whether it's usually just one particular part. So we've done installation of flooring. We've done some
demolition.
We've done some demolition work. We've done painting projects. Mm-hmm. Down in Atlanta, me and Janae got a chance to do some roofing, actually. So we were up on a roof. And it wasn't with a nail gun, so hand by hammer and nail.
That's right. Yeah, they don't let anybody have automated tools.
No.
In 80-degree weather.
In 80-degree humid weather on a roof. Ugh. But anyways.
Could do it in the winter in New Jersey.
That's true. Better than, 5-degree weather on the roof of, of a snowy roof in Jersey.
Yes.
But, so we've definitely gotten a lot of opportunity to go on construction mm-hmm. sites and, mm-hmm. and help out people who have been affected by the storm and by Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah. Right.
It's really cool to be able to work with groups like Habitat. And when I was in New York, I worked with Rebuilding Together New York City. So working on these houses that were damaged by Sandy makes the office work that we do.
So it coincides with your own mission. Helping FEMA on an overall macro basis, and then you're seeing how another organization, with which may or may not be getting funds from FEMA, is repairing.
And I think one of the really cool things as well is there's this contrast where, okay, so, you know, 5 days a week we're in the office doing office work. But then to be able to get the opportunity to be outside of the office and
working with our hands.
And working with your hands and really,
being familiar with the areas that we've, like, seen and
heard about.
I mean, it really just adds another perspective to this program in general, where it's just, I mean, you really kind of get more out of the experience for it. And I think that these ISP projects, or individual service projects, I should try to stay away from the acronym.
There you go. It's hard.
It takes a while to memorize it all. Sure. But, I mean, it really has added a lot to this program, and it's made it much more enjoyable, I think, where you're not just in the office 5 days a week.
And it's really good to, like, meet the community members and see how they were affected. I've heard so many stories of how people were affected by the storm, and it's really nice to be able to go and do something that's very tangible.
Right.
And it's a real effort that you can see, oh, I just fixed that. I just helped them.
Yeah. Yep.
And it really does round out our experience.
So you guys do 5 days a week in the office. You're doing these other ISP projects. Is that your extent of socialization and visiting and travel, or do you also yearn to get out of the office and go and see a certain spot in New York or go and take in a play?
Well, we definitely have life outside of work.
You do.
We are.
What's that, like 3 a.m. to 5 a.m.?
We don't live under a rock at all. But I mean, so there's definitely opportunities, and especially with our teams, to you know, try to find fun opportunities within New Jersey or New York or, you know, whatever area we're in. Right. So let's see. So, for example, we went up to Hoboken and, you know, got to see the Manhattan skyline. Yeah. And for me, being from a small town in Wisconsin, that was unbelievable. I mean, that was a surreal experience that, I mean, it really just that's a big part of why I joined this, is to travel and to see. To see that skyline was unbelievable for the first time.
Cool.
Yeah, it was like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, people from New Jersey and New York are probably, you know, thinking, wow, really?
We take it for granted.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
But, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And it was fantastic. And to, you know, do that, you know, with the seven people on my team who I've really grown close to. And it was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, we definitely make a point to try and explore the communities that we're in with our teams. The first weekend that my team was here, we went out and we drove around a lot, got to know Red Bank, the area, and we were really pleasantly surprised at how wonderful it really – we like it here a lot.
There's some pretty cool concerts at the Red Bank Theater. Have you checked that out?
No.
There's some rock concerts over there.
So we're going to have to check that out for our
I saw the Frank. I was over there. I saw the Frank Sinatra birthday party last in December. So well, you got what else is on your bucket list in terms of while you're still here?
Well, I'd like to explore New York more. I mean, New York is pretty close. So being there, I mean, I've been there.
A train ride.
Yeah, it's just a train ride. I've been there once. So I mean.
You've been here how long?
We've been here, let's see, about a month. Yeah, so a little over a month now.
Okay.